that it knocked all of us off our feet, sending us sprawling across the ground. I saw brilliant shards of crystal rain down from the ceiling as a massive arc of blue lightning discharged itself along the walls and ground, gouging scars everywhere it touched. Then, just as quickly as it had started, it was over, the walls of fire winking out, the room immediately beginning to dim.
Phew!
My mind echoed with relief as I took a deep breath, rolling onto my back.
Well,
Drace groaned as he sat up.
That was a ton of fun. Let's never do it again.
Chapter 30.
Where is it?
The mage was the first on his feet, with me not far behind.
The goblin, I need to catch it. If 5 days have truly passed...
He scanned the rapidly dimming room urgently, trying to see where the goblin shaman had ended up after the blast. My eyes scanned the room eagerly as well, though in my case trying to spot the puma before it could escape. I didn't know what had happened during the battle, but I was certain that the puma had taken a bite out of the goblin at one point. A flash of violet light from across the chamber cast the room into a brief purple haze, silhouetting a pair of shadows across the far wall.
There!
The mage and I both shouted, breaking into a run.
Let's go!
We stared at each other in surprise for a moment, before the mage finally asked,
You! What is your name?
Lyrian? Lyrian Rassler? I shouted back at the mage, already suspecting who he was.
Yours?
Donovan Kane.
I think the puma is after the ley line, I shouted back at him. It's possessed by some sort of intelligence.
Goblins attacked my camp while we searched for the ley line. I don't know what happened to them,
he shouted back. By this point, the goblin and puma had noticed our reckless charge towards them. Sparing a quick glance at one another, forming a temporary truce, they turned about and ran deeper into the ruins.
Damn it!
I cursed, seeing the pair fade away into the growing darkness as they descended down the ramp that Sierra and I had spotted what seemed like a lifetime ago.
Why does everything keep running?
With Donovan and me leading the charge, and the rest of the party not far behind, we charged across the chamber, my light spell faithfully illuminating the way. We quickly began to descend down the ramp, moving deeper into the ruins. The moment that I stepped out of the massive chamber, the walls began to glow with a bright blue energy once more. Blinking my eyes quickly, I dismissed arcane sight before I tripped over something I couldn't clearly see. As we ran down the ramp, we found that gentle plateaus had been cut in the decline, leveling out our descent every 20 feet or so, likely used to ensure that anyone losing their footing wouldn't continue to gain speed as they tumbled their way down the passage. Doorways and passages flanked the sides of each level we descended, expanding the ruin deeper into the ridge. At first, I noted that the passageways were blocked with rubble, having completely collapsed from the same event that affected the upper levels. But as we delved deeper, more of the passages gaped ominously, unaffected by whatever caused the others to collapse.
A light!
Donovan gasped, somewhat winded from the sprint. Ahead, a brilliant blue light spilled from the final level of the ramp, with scattered bits of rubble littering the floor. In addition to the rubble, I noted the tattered remains of webby cocoons and egg sacs scattered everywhere, even stuck to the walls. The instant that Donovan and I stepped onto the final level of the ruin, into the blue light, a nauseous feeling struck my stomach, followed by the onset of a headache.
You have entered an area permeated with ether. You are affected by ether sickness for 1 point of damage. You are affected by ether sickness for 1 point of damage.
I heard Donovan slow with a grunt as the symptoms hit him full force.
What?
Squinting ahead as my eyes adjusted to the brilliant glow, I saw the goblin shaman and puma just ahead, focused on something I couldn't make out. The passage had opened into yet another larger room, greatly dwarfing the massive chamber above.
Come on, Donovan,
I tugged on the flagging mage's arm.
We're almost there.
A massive roar echoed through the chamber, clenching my heart with such an existential dread, I was certain that I had wet myself, both in-game and in reality. I even saw both Goblin and Puma fall to the ground in terror.
What the hell was that?
Halcyon screamed as the party came charging down the ramp. Stumbling forward, I saw the goblin desperately begin to push itself backwards, struggling to both stand up and get away from the puma while something massive came at them. Reacting faster, the puma twisted, biting deep into the goblin's leg before it sprinted forwards deeper into the room.
No!
Donovan screamed as a massive claw stabbed through the goblin, pinning it right to the floor, a second claw quickly skewering it from the other side. The mage ran forward into the room, intent on somehow rescuing the goblin.
Donovan, stop!
I chased the mage, having missed my chance to grab him. I arrived into the room just in time to see a living nightmare pluck the struggling goblin off the ground, my mind at first refusing to accept what it was seeing. Whatever type of spider this once was before it had made its home here, in the bowels of this ether-filled room, had long since changed. It was mutated grotesquely, almost beyond comprehension. No longer mobile, it was fused with the stone floor of the room, its flesh glowing with arcane energy as its corpulent form straddled a brilliant river of energy that had cut a chasm through the stone floor. Gone were most of the creature's limbs, leaving only the two massive claws that held the helpless goblin impaled on them. Lifting the hapless creature to its tooth-filled maw, dozens of flame-red eyes regarded it for a heartbeat before it crunched on the goblin hole, its deformed chest writhing as it swallowed the creature, the thick, leathery skin barely able to keep itself from tearing apart. Immediately, the creature's name came up in my vision. Ether Warped Webwood Queen, Boss, Level 11.
A boss creature! I gasped as I saw the tag appear. That has to be the ley line under it, filled with raw magic.
Damn it!
Donovan yelled with despair as the goblin disappeared into the queen's gullet.
Fuck!
Quiet!
I hissed, grabbing the mage by the shoulder while craning my head around, having lost sight of my nemesis in the split instant that it had taken me to chase after Donovan. Looking around the room, I spotted nothing but countless more empty egg sacs everywhere I looked, not finding the puma anywhere in sight.
This is what we came for?
Trace gasped, terror intermixing with disbelief.
This queen?
There isn't enough fire in the world to kill this.
Halcyon whimpered, eyes wide, taking a step backwards.
Oh, nope, nope, nope.
Hey, where are you going?
Sierra shouted, giving Halcyon a slap.
Focus! You can do this!
Whatever I did in a previous life, I am so sorry,
Halcyon muttered while rubbing a red mark on his face.
Okay, let's do this. Then I can start therapy.
We're running out of time!
Constantine hissed.
I feel like I'm ready to throw up everything I've ever eaten! Okay!
Trace shouted, working up his own confidence before sprinting at the queen.
Let's do this! All out!
I shouted, quickly moving to follow Trace.
Don't hold anything back! We need to kill the bug before the ether kills us! Watch your spells!
Donovan suddenly shouted the instant that I'd run past him, snapping out of his despair.
This place is full of raw ether. They will have unpredictable effects.
Oh, shit. Like we need those sort of complications.
Oh, no!
I heard Halcyon yell as a strobing ball of multicolored light corkscrewed through the air towards the queen, slapping weakly across the creature's body, exploding like a fluffy snowball.
Shit!
The spot then erupted with a fountain of glowing ichor.
On second thought, oh yeah!
Wailing in pain, the queen's eyes fixated on us, as if noticing us for the first time. Her massive scythe claws slicing out toward Drace, Constantine, and me as we charged towards her.
She has a fixed reach!
I shouted as I leaped over one claw and rolled under the second. I heard a shout of pain as the massive claw struck Drace.
Get in close and she won't be able to attack us!
As if hearing my words, six balls of blue energy coalesced in front of the queen's face, shooting out towards Drace, Constantine, and myself.
Oh, maybe not!
I quickly cursed myself for jinxing the fight, paying the price as one of the orbs slammed into me. A ether-warped Webwood Queen hits you with Arcane Bolt for 40 points of damage.
Oh, thank you, resistances, for blunting that, even a little bit.
I winced as the bolt sent me down to just over 50% of my total health, kicking myself for not having found a way to heal in between fights.
Deal with it best you can.
A few strides more had me practically on top of the Webwood Queen, leaving me staring upwards at the humongous bulk that stretched nearly 20 feet tall.
How the fuck do I even attack this thing?
I saw a pair of arrows thud high into the creature's throat, Sierra able to easily pepper the creature from a distance. The beast cried in pain as it withdrew a massive claw, holding it in front of its face as a shield to Sierra's arrows. To Sierra's credit, she adjusted by lowering her aim to shoot into the creature's deformed abdomen, though for some reason the arrows didn't cause the beast as much pain.
Lear! Boost!
Constantine's voice snapped me back into the present, quickly turning to see Constantine running right at me.
Right!
Following whatever Constantine had planned, I quickly fell to one knee, dropping Razor to the ground as I interlaced my fingers.
Ready!
Constantine stomped into my hands at a full sprint at the same instant I heaved to throw him into the sky. Leaping through the air like a flying praying mantis, Constantine sailed under the defending claw and slammed into the bulk of the warped queen, burying his dagger fangs right up to the hilt in the creature's abdomen. Digging his knees into the roiling skin, Constantine yanked downwards, rending a massive hole in the queen's gut as the skin tore with ease. Black bile began to pour from the glowing wound, covering the creature's front as Constantine pulled his dagger fangs free, landing on his feet.
I think he's onto something here.
Picking up my blade, I charged at the creature, bearing it halfway into the lower half of the queen's abdomen and began to saw upwards, more bile gushing out at my feet. Out of habit, I cast Shocking Touch, only to have the spell fizzle as it came apart.
Stupid ether distortion!
I swore, as a second cast simply caused my hand to flicker with a green light, then vanish.
Fuck! Move, Lear!
Trace barked, his voice barely masking pain.
Coming through!
With barely a second thought, I tore Razor from the creature's belly, stepping to the side as Drace leaped at the queen with his blade claw held high over his head. My eye noted that Drace was missing the upper third of his shield, along with a fair chunk of his shoulder. That didn't stop the half-giant warrior from quite literally splitting the queen in two. Drace's blade claw caught the lower lip of the tear that Constantine had started in the creature's abdomen, and aided by his strength and weight, carved straight through the leathery skin to the weeping wound I had just torn Razor from. The result had the queen's abdomen splitting open like a ripe fruit, as it erupted with rotting viscera and bile. The torrent of black liquid washed over Drace and I, sweeping the both of us off our feet as the queen's bulging abdomen rapidly shrank, Constantine somehow being fortunate enough to get out of the way. I splashed through the vile liquid, my stomach instantly clenching to vomit so hard I was concerned I would shatter my spine. I rolled over, trying to find some way I could wipe my face clean before I threw up a second time.
Drace!
I called his name, loud enough to be heard over the wounded screams of the queen.
Yeah, Lear,
Drace gurgled, clearly affected the same way.
Fuck you. Yeah,
Drace spat to clear his mouth.
Fuck me. I saw that going differently in my head.
Pushing myself off the floor and onto my feet, I felt them skid on the loose spider entrails covering the ground, my gorge rising in response.
Just kill the queen, then you can throw up all you want, and maybe burn this armor.
I started to repeat to myself as I squished through the gore. Looking back at the Webwood Queen, she now looked like a deflated balloon, her chest split right open, exposing a huge empty cavity within the creature that glowed a bright blue.
The magic was rotting her from the inside out.
My eye noticed something moving rhythmically inside the cavity.
Holy shit, is that her heart?
Engorged beyond belief, the massive heart pulsed urgently, sending glowing blue blood throughout the creature's body.
By the Father,
I heard Donovan retch.
Shoot the heart!
I shouted while pointing.
Fucking magic isn't doing,
Caius shouted right before a brilliant red line shot from his palm, scarring the wall behind the queen, then a portion of her head before winking out.
Shit! How do I do that again? Someone fucking help me!
Halcyon was stuck levitating a foot off the ground, seemingly completely unaffected by gravity, and thrashing as he tried to find a way to move.
Halcyon, stop moving! Sierra yelled as she bumped the flailing mage, sending him gliding through the air.
Oh, shit!
Sierra, shoot the heart!
I yelled, moving to intercept the floating mage.
I got him!
The queen conjured another wave of glowing missiles through the air, this time targeting Sierra, Caius, and Donovan, forcing them all to scramble. It was then she spotted Halcyon, floating helplessly in the air.
Halcyon, brace yourself!
I shouted, instantly wondering how he would do such a thing. Scything out a massive claw, the queen aimed to slice the levitating mage completely in two. Leaping just before the claw hit the mage, I grabbed him and bore him straight to the ground, canceling out whatever magic perverted his original spell. A roar of pain told me that one of Sierra's arrows had found the creature's heart, quickly followed by Halcyon thrusting his hands out in the air behind me, successfully conjuring his force shield. The same instant the queen brought both of her claws down on us. Halcyon grunted as he was pressed into the ground from the fury of the blows, but managed to keep his shield intact.
Shit! Thanks!
I gasped, knowing that the blade would have gone through me like butter.
No worries!
Halcyon gasped.
But can you get off me, please? You're heavy.
Right. I rolled off the mage, catching a glimpse of Constantine leaping into the split-open chest of the queen. Instantly, the queen roared in pain as her massive claws retreated to guard her chest, a spray of multicolored magic glancing off a claw.
Gotta go!
I called out to Halcyon as I rolled back onto my feet, running to get back into melee range. I quickly scanned the room, trying to spot Drace, but instead saw a tan-colored blur sprinting straight towards the queen's gaping chest cavity. I had no idea what the puma was hoping to achieve by killing the queen, but at this point I was happy that it had decided to finally reveal itself. My boots squelched with bile as I sprinted after the beast, trying my best not to lose my footing as I ran.
I can't let it kill the queen. No idea what that will do to it.
Barely 10 steps behind the creature, I saw my nemesis tear past the queen's defensive claws before it could react, leaping inside the gaping chest cavity unmolested. As I desperately tried to catch up, a massive claw slammed down in front of me, blocking my path.
Damn it!
I swore, grinding to a halt as the scythe claw swung forward to sweep me away with the flat of the blade, only to be intercepted by a charging Drace, stopping it cold as he caught it on his shield.
I got you, man!
He croaked as he leaned into the creature's arm.
Go, quick!
Thanks, I called to Drace as I leaped over the Spider Queen's arm, finding myself right at the edge of the ley line.
What the?
My eyes bulged in surprise as I saw the raging river of energy that was the ley line streaming straight through the queen's innards.
She grew right over it. Her heart is literally suspended over the ley line.
Looking into the gaping wound, I saw the queen's heart hammering at a desperate rate, spurting ether-infused blood wildly from a number of wounds. Clenching onto the heart with a dagger fang thrust deep into it, I saw Constantine holding on for dear life, hanging barely a foot over the ley line. All this while, the puma tried to dislodge him from his precarious perch, its claws digging deep into the inner walls of the queen's chest as it bit furiously at Constantine's hands.
Lear!
He shouted once seeing me.
Help! I'm gonna fall in!
On it, buddy! Just hold on!
I called back, my mind trying to come up with a plan. The major problem wasn't just rescuing Constantine, but finding a way to do so without having him fall into the ley line or letting the puma kill the queen. My brain froze. I had nothing.
Lyrian!
Oh, to hell with it. I leaped forward, arms outstretched as I slammed into my nemesis, quickly wrapping my arms and legs around its body.
Kill the queen, Constantine!
I shouted, throwing my weight against the puma's grip, tearing it free of the wall, taking it with me as I fell into the ley line. Raging energy coursed through my body as we sunk into the ley line, sending lightning bolts of pain through every single nerve my body had. I felt my nemesis thrash wildly in my grip as it struggled to find a way to escape. It burned to keep my eyes open, the vibrant blue energy of the river distorting everything I saw.
Oh, it burns!
I felt the ether shoot through my mouth and lungs as my body took a deep breath out of shock, inhaling the bright liquid. The pain was unbearable, past anything I'd ever experienced in the game before.
Why aren't I dying?
The thought raged through me as I felt the puma escape my grip.
Please just let me respawn. I can't take this.
I felt the puma bite into my shoulder, sinking its teeth deep inside me, my collarbone snapping under the pressure. Its front paws wrapped around me, claws digging into my back as it latched onto me and began to shred my stomach with its hind claws. Screaming and breathing in even more ether, I flailed uselessly at the beast, my one good arm trapped at my side.
Stop!
Before I knew what I was doing, my head shot forward, fueled by a deep primal instinct I never knew I had. I bit into the side of the puma's throat, using the only weapon I had left, my teeth. I felt the fur give way, biting harder until I felt hot blood spill into my mouth. I felt the creature buck under the unexpected assault and bit even deeper. Red blood billowed into the ley line all around us before being whisked away by the current. Now panicking, the puma kicked off me, pulling its teeth out of my ruined shoulder and slapping me in the face with a massive paw as it floated away. My head snapped back as the claws tore through my face, my vision suddenly going dark.
Oh, fuck, he got my eyes!
My heart flipped in terror as my hand touched ruined bits of flesh and bone.
Why won't I die?
The blinding pain of losing my sight quickly magnified to even greater heights. The ether began to seep into my open wounds. Writhing in pain, I paddled my working arm aimlessly as the ley line current slowly spun me, trying to find some reference to where I was. Waving uselessly through the burning river, I was a hair's breadth away from giving up and forcefully logging myself out of the game when I felt a gentle caress across my face, right along my missing eyes. Startled, my hand waved in front of my face to ward away the unexpected touch, but found nothing as it passed. Gradually, the constant burning sensation of the coursing ether began to mute, and a pinprick of light appeared in my vision. I gasped with relief as my sight began to return, showing me a crystal-clear torrent of energy, the distortions that marred my vision before completely gone. There, I saw the puma, paddling wildly, biting at something on its body. Wait, what is that? Coiled all along the creature, I now saw countless black strands, wrapped around its body, constricting every time a limb moved. Around its head, I saw a mane of broken strands billowing in the current around it. I could see the puma struggling to crane its neck to bite at the strands, covering its paws, each bite tearing a handful off itself. The strands visibly tightened, causing the puma's expression to grimace in pain. "What am I seeing?" I asked myself, waving my good arm to steady myself in the current as my legs touched something solid. It's trying to free itself from the strands, but what are they? For a dozen heartbeats, I watched the puma struggle to tear the ink-black strands off of it. Slowly it began to tire, the strands then beginning to reattach themselves around the beast. A look of defeat crossed the puma's eyes.
Oh, fuck me if I'm wrong about this.
I kicked off the ground as I swam along the current, flying towards my nemesis. Sensing my motion, the beast looked at me, eyes echoing with the familiar sadness I'd seen earlier in the day. This time, the eyes did not change to anger, watching me with a detached acceptance of something that had given up all hope. The rest of the body, however, twisted in preparation for impact, black strands straining to move the creature's limbs. Just before I collided with the creature, its head shot out, biting into its own arm. I slammed into the puma's shoulder, weakly hooking my ravaged arm around it. The black strand shivered with what I could only describe as fury, my good hand reaching towards the mane of broken strands I'd seen before. My hand raked through the tattered strands, feeling a sticky, tar-like consistency as I tore them free from the puma's body. The creature's eyes widened in surprise, having expected to feel a killing blow. It bit deeper into its paw, struggling to keep it under control. Hissing in pain as I felt the hind claws pierce into my legs, I continued to claw at the inky strands coating the puma's body, feeling them dissipate the moment I tore them free. For every handful I tore off the creature, the remaining strands constricted even tighter, forcing me to physically dig my nails into its flesh, sending clouds of blood billowing around us. I lost track of how long I tore the corrupting strands off the creature, wrestling with limbs not under its control. The more strands I removed, the less the creature fought me, even going as far to assist in tearing the threads off of it before they could regrow. My hand came down on a particularly thick nest of strands, my fingers sinking deeply into it as I struggled to tear it free. I felt something inside the strands bite at my fingers, sending shooting pains up my arm. Gritting my teeth, I pulled, gradually ripping the mass free. Underneath, gleaming like a pearl, I spotted a single silver strand, pulsing with a weak light. Without hesitation, I grasped it, feeling it mold to my hand. A prompt appeared in my vision, surprising me so much that I almost let go.
Yes!
I screamed, feeling a searing warmth shoot up my arm. Instantly, the remaining tar-colored strands flared white, burning away from the creature in a flash of light. A second wave of energy shot through me as a new awareness dawned upon me.
Thank you, Two-Leg.
Interlude. Purgatory.
Sister!
Destruction's voice raged across the cosmos, a delightful treat to creativity's ears.
You have cheated me!
Why, hello, sister.
Creativity cheerfully beamed at Destruction's arrival.
What an unexpected delight. Shall I conjure some tea? You must tell me about your day.
You have broken the rules.
Destruction frothed as she approached Creativity, almost daring to strike her.
I demand recompense.
Broken a rule?
Creativity cocked her head in confusion, not the least bit intimidated.
Are you certain? It would be quite serious if I did. As I'm sure you know, I cannot break the rules.
So you admit it?
Destruction thrust a finger in Creativity's face.
I admit nothing, sister, for I do not know what you are talking about.
You have stolen a nemesis of mine and given it to your pawn!
Destruction continued to rage.
You have meddled beyond your scope.
Ah, is that what has your feathers in such a twist?
Creativity asked with a raised eyebrow.
I do not believe I have meddled at all. I merely presented opportunities. If I recall correctly, quite a number of them were in your nemesis's favor.
You lie!
Destruction spat.
I rode the creature the entire time. The creature was far too adept at resisting me for such a mindless beast, and your pawn should have never been able to do what it did to free it.
You rode the beast?
Creativity replied in mock surprise.
Have you considered that this is no one's fault but your own? Perhaps you are not as skilled as you believe yourself to be, even after cheating yourself and granting the beast magical sight.
You try my patience, sister, and I tire of repeating myself. I demand recompense for your meddling!
You may demand all you wish, sister, but it will get you nothing.
Creativity waved a hand dismissively. I would offer you a chance to glimpse at the weave to prove my innocence, but your last visit proved you cannot handle that sort of responsibility, so I have hidden it from you.
You cannot do that!
Destruction screamed with fury.
Reveal it to me at once!
You seem to enjoy telling me what I can and cannot be doing.
Creativity spoke slowly, as if to a child.
But in reality, I can do whatever it is I wish in order to preserve the balance.
I...
Destruction began before Creativity cut her off with a gesture.
The balance that your actions have skewed.
creativity continued to speak, now advancing on destruction.
You taught me a valuable lesson after your last visit, sister. I will even admit you got the better of me.
But I am not so naive anymore, to think that we will be anything other than enemies.
Creativity waved her hand in dismissal, her voice turning to ice.
Leave my domain, destruction. You are no longer welcome here, under any circumstances. If I see you here again, it will be as a broken corpse at my feet.
With fear in her eyes, destruction turned and fled. Chapter 31. I gasped with relief as my hands came down on hard stone, heaving myself out of the raging energy of the ley line with a heroic surge of strength. I scrambled on my knees as my lungs and stomach began to rebel from the copious amounts of ether I had both inhaled and swallowed. I didn't even have a chance to scan the room before my body began retching violently, forcing itself to expel the glowing liquid.
God, that burns!
My head spun as the ether began to sizzle on the stone floor. Gasping for air, my ears told me that the puma had also found its way out of the ley line, and based on the raspy growls I could hear, was also experiencing the same discomfort as it vomited out raw ether.
Where is everyone?
I glanced around the room, not seeing any of the party members nearby. Even the massive form of the Spider Queen was gone, a fossilized skull now sitting in the place where a massive bulk once joined the floor. With the ether leaving my system, my mind was slowly beginning to process the turn of events I had just experienced. Rubbing my mouth free of spittle, I began to take slow, deep breaths to calm myself as I quickly reviewed a list of alerts that were hovering in my vision, starting with the one that had changed my relationship with the puma forever. Congratulations on bonding an ether-warped puma, level 10, as your familiar. Against all odds, you have freed the ether-warped puma from the nemesis spirit possessing it. As such, you have gained the undying loyalty and gratitude of the rare creature. Bound together with both magic and blood, you and your familiar now share a unique and near unbreakable bond between one another. This bond allows you and your familiar to constantly understand where the other is, regardless of intervening distance, so long as you are both on the same plane of existence. As you both gain experience and strengthen the bond between the two of you, specialized abilities will become available. Beware, the ether-warped puma you have bound as a familiar is an intelligent creature, subject to its own wants, needs, and desires. Should your personalities clash or you perform actions outside the creature's moral code, it may choose to dissolve the familiar bond of its own accord. Current familiar abilities. Mental link. The magical bond linking you and your familiar has created an intimate mental link between the two of you, allowing each of you to communicate mentally between one another for a distance of up to 1 mile, regardless of intervening objects. Magical wards, however, will block this form of mental communication. Soul bound. During the familiar bonding process, you have anchored the being's soul directly to your own. Should the familiar be slain in your service, you will immediately suffer a 10% penalty to all attributes and skills for the next 24 hours, until the familiar is reborn. Should the familiar survive your death, it does not suffer any penalties, but will be compelled to travel to your place of rebirth as quickly as possible. Additional familiar abilities can be obtained through the use of class skill points, training, or special events. Ether warped? My heart flipped in panic, seeing the leading prefix in the puma's name. My mind fearing that I had bound a creature as unstable as the spiders we'd spent our day fighting, I quickly turned to take a look. My mouth fell open as I spotted the puma. It had indeed been warped by its swim in the ether. The creature had grown, its size now rivaling one of a large tiger. It stood now at just under 4 feet high to the shoulder and nearly 10 feet long from snout to tail. The once tan pelt that it wore now gleamed a vibrant azure, thick muscles visibly bulging from under the creature's fur. Massive claws protruded from dinner plate-sized paws as the creature bared them out of reflex while it continued to cough. Seeing my surprise through the link, a sapphire-colored eye fixed on me in concern.
Is something wrong, Two-Legged?
Your fur is blue now, I said haltingly, unused to the new form of mental conversation. And you're larger. The puma paused its hacking cough and looked towards a massive paw.
So it is.
Are you okay with that? I asked cautiously, trying to gauge the creature's state of mind. Nothing in my life had ever prepared me to speak with a mutated wildcat, mind to mind.
It is what it is,
the cat replied philosophically.
I have undergone many changes over the last few nights. What are a few more?
The puma brought itself up into a regal pose as it sat on the ground, watching me carefully. I felt a wave of surprise and concern flow through our link.
Two-Leg, your eyes burn with the color of the sky.
What? I flinched at the urgency of the puma's mental voice, remembering its claws blinding me just a few moments earlier. My eyes? I quickly rubbed my hand across my face, feeling nothing amiss, yet the panicked motion reminded me that there were two more alerts still waiting for my attention. Cautiously selecting one, I hoped for answers to whatever the puma saw in my eyes. You have gained the trait, ether warped. Ether warped. Due to high exposure of raw ether, your body has undergone unpredictable changes. You have gained the following subtrait and abilities as part of your condition. Further exposure to ether can result in further effects. Mana starved. Your body now has an innate hunger for arcane energy in order to fuel its normal bodily processes. For as long as you have mana, you do not require to eat or drink. However, if your mana reaches zero, your body will immediately begin to starve. All mana regeneration is permanently reduced by 50%. True sight. Your eyes have been enhanced by exposure to ether to the point where they are able to pierce through natural darkness and all facets of magic to see things as they truly are. This ability replaces arcane sight and can be suppressed at will. When this ability is active, the player's eyes will visibly glow a bright blue.
Fuck!
I cursed out loud as I read the first half of the alert. Now I'm ether warped too, and I've completely gutted my mana regeneration. How the hell am I supposed to be an effective spell sword now? I felt some relief as I continued to the second half of the alert, realizing just how much my arcane sight had been augmented. Okay, maybe this isn't all bad, but I probably wouldn't have made this trade if I had an option. I looked towards the giant cat, regarding me with concern. Okay, maybe I would have. I'm fine, I sent to the big cat, trying to find words that I thought it would understand. The enchantment allowing me to see magic has changed. My eyes now glow and allow me to see in the dark.
Very useful,
the puma replied with an approving flick of an ear.
Holy shit! Constantine's voice shouted in surprise. Run, Lyrian! Why are you just sitting there?
My head snapped up to see a shocked Constantine drawing his dagger fangs as he called for help from the ramp behind him. Beside me, the puma leaped into action, putting itself between me and Constantine as it bared its fangs with a roar.
Order your little mate to sheath its claws!
The puma's mental voice hissed through my mind.
I am no longer a threat against them.
Whoa, wait up!
I stumbled up onto my feet as the rest of the party charged down the ramp, weapons at the ready.
The cat isn't a threat! It's my familiar now!
Familiar? Constantine exclaimed, relaxing ever so slightly.
That cat tried to kill me, and it did kill you! Why the hell would it be your familiar now?
It was under something's control, and I freed it while we were in the ley line. Then it was bound to me, I started to explain. I don't quite understand how I did it, but it happened.
How the hell did it turn blue and grow even larger then?
Because it's ether warped, the same as me now, I replied hesitantly. Constantine stared at me in confusion.
Ether warped? Like the spiders?
Enough, Sierra cut in while eyeing the puma carefully. This isn't the best place to talk. Ether sickness is slowly poisoning us here. We're gonna carefully move out of this room where it's safe, Sierra thrust a finger at me. Then you have some explaining to do.
We had left the room containing the ley line, moving up to the next highest plateau along the ramp to get away from the ether sickness. Still somewhat hesitant of the puma, the rest of the party stood across from me, while the big cat sat coolly by my side. Apart from both groups, Donovan watched all of us carefully, sitting with his back against the wall, his eyes glazed over and visibly exhausted.
So that's all of it, I finished, having explained everything from the moment I dragged the puma into the ley line to the discovery of my new condition. I don't know how effective I'm going to be with a completely shot mana regeneration going forward, though.
I think you're too focused on the negatives, Lear,
Dre said, shaking his head.
You have a giant cat as a friend, don't need to eat or drink, and can see in the dark and through all illusions.
I'd say you're pretty fucking lucky, Lyrian, Constantine grunted. I bet if anyone else tried to do what you just did, they'd be eating a 20% penalty to skills and experience because their soul fragment is stuck at the bottom of the ley line with no way of recovering it.
Believe me, I said softly, remembering the searing pain of the ley line. While I was in there, death would have been a blessing. I have no idea why I didn't die.
What's his name?
Sierra interrupted suddenly, not having taken her eyes off the warped puma.
Does he have a name?
I'm not sure. Caught off guard by the sudden question, I turned to look at my familiar. Do you understand us when we speak out loud?
I do.
Do you have a name that you wish us to call you?
I mentally asked the creature.
What is this name you speak of?
The puma's tail swished as it cocked its head towards me in confusion. I frowned at the creature's confusion and the surreality of explaining the concept of a name to a cat.
A name is a word that identifies something or someone. When my friends arrived, they called out my name, Lyrian. It is something that belongs only to me and no one else, such as identifying a very specific two-leg.
I think I understand. Two-leg... Lyrian,
my familiar replied cautiously as it adjusted to the concept.
Then the fire-haired one who asked must be Sierra.
Lyrian?
Sierra asked me impatiently, seeing me just staring at the cat.
Does it?
Sorry, I shook my head. I was just explaining what a name was to the cat.
Oh.
Yes, that's right, I sent back enthusiastically. Do you have a name like that?
No,
the cat sent back with a mental shrug.
I have only recently become aware of myself. I have yet to discover my name.
Your name isn't discovered. Once more, I struggled, trying to find a way to explain clearly to the creature. A name is either chosen by oneself or given by a parent or guardian during the creature's birth. The puma regarded me with great interest as my words sunk in.
Our bond brings us closer than a parent or guardian. I ask you to grant me a name.
Caught off guard for a moment, my mind quickly thinking through dozens of names. Are you sure? A name is important.
Indeed I am,
the puma replied back somewhat impatiently.
Then I name you Amaranth, I sent back to the puma with confidence after thinking for a moment.
It means immortal or unfading.
A powerful name,
Amaranth replied graciously as he started to purr.
Thank you.
His name is Amaranth, I finally told Sierra, the conversation having taken a handful of seconds.
Amaranth,
Sierra said slowly, testing the name. She slowly took a step forward, holding her hand out for the cat to sniff.
My name is Sierra,
It is nice to meet you. I'm happy you're on our side now.
Amaranth regarded her coolly for a moment before rubbing its face across her open hand, purring even louder. Whatever spell held everyone in suspicion broke at that moment, each of the party members stepping forward to introduce themselves to my new familiar. Once more I shook my head at the surreal scene, but considering that I had just fought a massive spider queen in the bowels of an abandoned ruin, surreal was quickly becoming rather ordinary. I guess this is my life now. While everyone was focused on Amaranth, I noticed Donovan still sitting with his back to the wall, completely unfocused on everything going on around him.
"Hey, Donovan, are you all right?"
I called out as I approached the dazed mage, seeing that his shirt was soaked through with blood. Sometime after I had jumped into the ley line, he must have taken a sizable wound to the chest that had since healed.
"Ah, I'm okay. Lyrian, was it?"
Donovan spoke softly, his mind clearly miles away.
"It's just been a long night. Day, I don't even know when it is."
"It's probably getting to be late afternoon, depending on how long I was in the ley line," I offered, a bit more sympathy to the mage's temporal displacement now that we were out of combat. "On Friday, mind you."
"Friday?"
The mage sighed again.
"Damn."
"What happened, Donovan?" I prompted, wondering just how much to reveal. "How did you end up here in the middle of a temporal lock? In fact, what are you doing this far north at all?"
"That is a long story,"
the mage sighed before looking up at me.
"And much I am not at liberty to discuss."
"Tell me what you can, then," I told him with a shrug. "I have nowhere to be." Taking a deep breath, Donovan steeled himself and nodded at me.
I am a member of the Iberian Mages Guild, and I was charged to lead an expedition north of Iberia to determine the location of a ley line that was believed to be in this area."
"How did you even know where to begin looking?"
"I can't say."
Donovan shook his head.
"That is a secret belonging to the guild."
"Okay, go on."
"We arrived in this area a few weeks ago, deigning to start our search much further to the north, then make our way southward. Our plan was to investigate a number of ruins that the Surveyor's Guild had noted in the surrounding area. However, we did not anticipate that their maps were based on poor observations and a great deal of guesswork."
The way that Donovan described the Surveyor's Guild was one filled with scorn and derision.
"Their maps proved to be near useless in the field, and we were forced to search the area ourselves."
"Why didn't you just go back and get better maps?" I asked.
"One does not return empty-handed to the house when it sponsors an expedition," Donovan said sternly. "It is bad for your health."
"House? I thought the guild sponsored it," I asked. My interest piqued.
"Huh? They did,"
Donovan replied, realizing that he had just misspoke.
"You just said a house sponsored it." "Did I?"
Donovan said slightly nervously.
"I meant guild. My apologies. I'm quite tired."
"I'm not sure I believe you," I responded flatly, meeting the mage's eyes and staring at him intently. "What house?" Staring back at me, I could see a number of emotions play across Donovan's face before he sighed.
"I guess it's no real harm to tell you this far from civilization. House Denarius sponsored the expedition through the Mage's Guild."
"Your wordplay skill has increased to level 3.
"Huh.
That's the same house that sponsored Alduin's founding of Aldford. Interesting." I nodded at Donovan, sensing that the rest of the party had turned their attention to our conversation.
"Occasionally, when a noble house needs to have something taken care of or acquired that they cannot officially take notice of or be associated with, it is usually handled through one of the Iberian guilds in exchange for a monetary donation."
"They bribed you to do their dirty work,"
Trace entered the conversation bluntly.
"No need to dress it up."
Donovan winced at Drace's brutal assessment, but nodded.
"Yes, At its heart, that's what it is.
Okay, I began, realizing that there was a huge can of worms surrounding this mess. Leaving aside the fact that the guild allowed itself to be bribed, why does House Daenerys want control over a ley line?
I'm afraid I don't know, Donovan replied, honestly this time. My directive was to find it and secure it, then report back to the guild for their disposition.
Donovan took a deep breath before continuing to explain.
But once we arrived to this area, I noticed that there was something wrong with the ley line, and seeing it here confirmed it for me.
Noticed?
Halcyon spoke up for the first time.
How? You couldn't even find the place.
True, Donovan nodded. But we brought tools with us in hopes of being able to locate the ley line, finely tuned mana dowsing rods, ether scopes, and so forth.
And they were supposed to help you locate this place?
In normal circumstances, yes.
Donovan spoke with calm patience now that he had started talking.
However, what we found was an extreme abundance of magic permeating the area for countless miles around us. It made our tools next to useless.
Why?
Halcyon asked, genuinely interested in the theory of magic this world used.
They were too sensitive for this type of work. No matter where we pointed them, all they would detect was magic. I hypothesized that this was because ether was somehow leaking into the ground, outside of the regular channels a ley line should run. Seeing the ley line below has confirmed it.
So the ley line is ruptured, then?
Halcyon stated.
Yes,
Donovan nodded empathetically.
Very seriously so.
As fascinating as this detour is, I cut back into the conversation, that doesn't tell us how you ended up trapped here, in your nightshirt, with an angry goblin after you. Donovan's face fell as he looked to the ground.
Well,
he smells of fear and guilt.
Amaranth interjected, sniffing the air in front of him. Fixing my gaze on Donovan, I waited quietly, letting the silence weigh him into speaking.
It was late, he began. We found a clearing in the woods and set up camp. Where it is in relation to here, I don't know.
But we do, I thought to myself.
I was about to bunk down for the night after speaking to one of the scoutmasters when balls of fire struck from the woods.
Donovan's eyes glazed over as he relived events that had just happened a few hours ago from his perspective.
They caught us completely unprepared, having evaded our night watch. Before I knew what was happening, dozens of goblins had broken into the camp. There was nothing I could do. I saw one of our scouts take off into the woods in an effort to escape, and I tried to follow.
The Iberian maid shook his head. I barely made it a dozen steps into the woods before I was ambushed by a pair of goblin shamans.
They chased me through the forest for what seemed like half the night.
Donovan sounded tense as he continued his story.
Eventually we ran into spiders. Large spiders. I had no idea any inhabited the forest this far south.
Donovan let out a sigh.
We had dozens of spiders on our tail as we ran through the woods, and I used the opportunity to land a paralytic curse on one of the shamans chasing me. His companion didn't even stop to help him.
Brutal,
Caius whispered while glancing at a pale Halcyon.
After that, the second shaman was too crafty. He maintained a shield for the rest of the chase, waiting for me to tire as we circled through the woods.
Donovan shook his head as he indicated the ruin around us.
As if in answer to my prayers, I saw this mountain ridge bloom with magic. The irony that I would find the ruin I was looking for as I was sprinting wildly in the dark. Anyway, I had gained enough distance from the goblin to climb the scree and break the ward covering the entrance in hopes of hiding and ambush.
Hold on, I interrupted as a spark of anger kindled in my stomach.
There was a ward on the entrance?
Yes, a primitive one, barely strong enough to protect a favorite privy store, let alone anything valuable.
Anything stronger and the shaman would have caught up with me.
Would it have kept the spiders out? I asked, trying to carefully hide the anger in my voice.
Spiders? Certainly. A good thing, too, otherwise they may have become...
Comprehension dawned on Donovan's face.
Oh, gods, what have I done?
You survived, Sierra soothed, shooting me a sharp look. And as I understand, no great harm has been done.
Only through dumb luck that the temporal lock caught most of...
Sierra dug her elbow into my side.
No great harm done.
Thank the gods,
Donovan sounded relieved.
Don't worry, I can ward this place once more and ensure that nothing else makes its way inside, at least until we can get members from the guild up here to properly assume control of this place and perhaps repair the ley line.
Donovan, I grunted brusquely, you seem to be mistaken. I'm not turning over this place to the guild.
What?
Donovan shouted, anger crossing his face.
Why not? You don't have the skills to repair the ley line. What use would it be to you all?
Because I don't fucking trust you, your guild, or House Daenerys, I told the mage bluntly. And I'm not about to let Iberian politics dictate what I should be doing with a ruin that we fought, bled, and nearly died for.
What right do you think you have to...
The mage started to shout before Sierra cut him off with a sharp slice of her arm.
Shut up and wait here, Sierra told Donovan. I need to speak with Lyrian. Lyr, are you sure about this?
She asked me with concern after taking a moment to lead me out of Donovan's hearing range.
Do you remember what the magic voice said when I poked those crystals?
I asked, countering Sierra's question with my own.
It said translocation grid inactive. Translocation. This place has to be a hub of some sort, a method of fast travel. I remember.
Sierra nodded, a thoughtful look on her face.
You think the House Daenerys or the Mages Guild has a way of repairing this place? Fast travel sounds like a good thing.
Maybe, but under the control of someone we don't know about? I asked. Someone who Donovan openly admitted takes and gives out bribes?
Shit. Good point, Sierra conceded. Okay, what's your plan?
Stall. I need to talk to Alduin about something.
Oh? He founded Aldford based on coin lent by House Daenerys, I whispered.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Sierra hissed. Not even a little bit.
Okay, Sierra said after taking a deep breath. I'll follow your lead.
Sierra and I rejoined the party, who had stayed behind to keep Donovan company. We'll discuss more about what will and will not happen with this place later. As I'm sure you can understand, we're not about to give this place up without considerable recompense.
That's very prudent of you,
Donovan said carefully, his anger fading slightly. In the meantime, Halcyon and I are going to watch you carefully ward this place to make sure nothing else can get in here.
And then what?
Donovan asked. Then? We're going to take you to your camp. Chapter 32. Despite the failings Donovan had displayed so far, thankfully a sense of responsibility for the members of his expedition was not among them. The exhausted mage nearly cried with joy after we told him that Natasha had survived the goblin attack and was safe in Aldford at the moment. Almost instantly his demeanor changed to one of gratitude, despite the argument we just had and having been told we didn't trust him. He isn't cut out for this, I realized while carefully watching Donovan ward the entrance of the ruin as the sun began to set along the ridge. I leaned heavily to one side as I paid attention to Donovan's warding, my foot resting on the rather large, fossilized skull of the Spider Queen that I had taken as a souvenir. I had no idea if it was because the Spider Queen was a boss creature that it had left something behind, or if it had something to do with being so drastically warped by magic, but I figured it would make an appropriate statement when we returned to Aldford. The only downside was that for whatever reason the skull didn't register as an item, so I wasn't able to magically stuff it into my inventory. I would have to lug it back by hand, one step at a time. Donovan seems competent enough when it comes to magic, even battle, but as a leader or speaker, he is lost. He doesn't have the temperament or presence for it. He'd be better off to be given a technical task to do without interference. I understood the majority of Donovan's work as he wove thick strands of magic across the ruin's entrance, building the ward that would keep any interlopers out. Unfortunately, though, complete understanding was beyond me. It was like being able to read a programming language and vaguely understand what it was trying to do, yet not understand it enough to be able to code something useful myself. In the end, I was confident enough that if I had to break the ward, I would be able to figure out a way to do so, although it'd likely be an exhausting and time-consuming process, akin to breaking down a cement wall with a sledgehammer. Donovan was quiet.